Yo Pods, check out Meet Mitch and Leewood for award-winning barbecue, outstanding atmosphere, and your destination to watch all your favorite March Madness action. Tailgating for opening day? Place your order online and pick up on way to the game. Meet Mitch Barbecue, East 95th and Mission in Ranch Martin or Shopping Center.
This is Sports Saturday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Back on Sports.
Good old timeline. Back here on Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Brad, we're back.
Thank you. You're back.
Yeah, so during that last break, we had a couple of drops on our line here, so we're going to try to keep a close eye on it there. Make sure we can get rolling still.
It's always around that 10 o'clock time.
Yes.
It's been tough. It's always that middle hour that we've been having some trouble with. The good old tie line.
Yes. Some of it might have to do with all the cell phones in use up here at Chiefs training camp. It's absolutely packed today. Today is Family Fun Day in St. Joe. By the way, my name is Brad Porter. Chris Bolig is running the show. Sorry, I was just checking a note real quick. Our training camp coverage is brought...
Training camp coverage brought to you by Mosaic Life. And Brad, we'll see if we can get Brad up here in a sec. Oh, there you are. Are you there, Brad?
There we go.
All right.
Yep. As our Chiefs training camp coverage brought to you by Missouri Lottery, Mosaic Life Care, and GM. And good news. We've heard the hype about Frank Clark and how much the guys in Seattle raved about him, how much we heard come out of the OTAs and the mandatory mini camp that was here, 5-6 weeks ago. And so far, the reviews are absolutely fantastic on Frank Clark. Chris, you want to talk about speed on the edge, you're going to see something you haven't seen since Tama was at his height.
And I think that's a good comp, because not only was Tamba, he could get his hand in the ground in a 4-3, rush the passer. He also stood up at the end of his career in that 3-4. But when he could get his hand in the ground, he was a stout run stopper as well. He was strong on setting the edge, but he could also get after the passer. A lot of what Frank Clark can do as a defensive end in the 4-3, and where he really flourishes, because he can be that guy that can not only get to the passer, but in run situations, not to be able to hold the edge and not really get steamrolled. We saw a lot last year with D Ford coming off the edge. He would get so far upfield sometimes, and in the run game, he would just get collapsed on by pulling guards and whatnot. I think Frank Clark's going to do a really good job, not only in the pass rushing situations, but and run stopping situations as well.
Yeah, and good stuff today from Tonel Passanio, who the Chiefs have spent going on 3 years trying to figure out how to use him, trying to figure out what he's best at, and Steve Spagnuolo's trying some things with him, and he's looked pretty good so far this morning. Again, it's hard to see
everyone. He said it's hard to see everyone. With our new setup at training camp, we've been put behind the Kona Ice stand. They've put stands right where we were last week, right? They put stands right where you guys were last week, Brad, and now you're it's
yep.
A little harder to see things, but you were talking about Tano Passanio.
Yes.
And how they are. It's been an ongoing experiment, to say the least, in terms of what they are trying to get from him.
Yep, and you just heard the crowd kind of give an ooh, but it was a disappointed ooh. It was a long pass play from Mahomes trying to hit DeMarcus Robinson in stride, and it was a pass breakup by the defense. So better stuff there. Also, I found this a little bit odd, Chris. Maybe I shouldn't, since you have a defensive coordinator who wants to do it his way. Kendall Fuller has been exclusively a slot corner so far. If they come out in a base package, two corners, Kendall Fuller's not out there. And
yeah.
I get it, because that's where he's excelled throughout his career. I just found that interesting. And I shouldn't be concerned about it, because defenses are in their base, maybe 20% of the time.
Yeah,
they're nickel and dime more than anything, so I shouldn't really be concerned about that. I just thought it was interesting.
Well, also, I think PFF graded, a lot of people didn't understand this, this past season, but PFF graded Kendrick Fuller. He did better as an outside corner, in, according to their grades, comparative to the slot, which was a lot different from when he was in Washington. He graded out very heavily, very well, when he was a slot corner in Washington. But last year, he had more success as an outside corner. But if he is your best corner, I understand you want to have him in a more consistent spot. Just maybe make it simplified. All right, you're going to be our slot corner. But you also have Tyrann Mathieu, who can, you know, can cover the slot. Maybe Juan Fornhill can do that if you want him to. But I think Kendra Fuller, if he is showing that he can play on the outside and he exceeds at that, then you got to put him out there.
Yep. But that, I mean, for right now, it looks like Spagnuolo is going to go. If the best thing you do is inside slot corner, that's what you're going to do. And then they'll work from there. By the way, another couple of, Mahomes went deep down the right sideline right in front of me and just missed connecting with Mecole Hardman, who, my God, Chris, when you watch these guys on tape, guys like Mecole Hardman and Tyreek Hill, or you watch them on TV, you think, okay, that guy's really fast. When you watch him in person, it's a hell of a thing. And Mecole Hardman is, he's not as fast as Tyreek Hill, but he's right behind him. He's going to open up some more things for the Chiefs this year, like taking the top off, like they did a couple of times with Tyreek last year. But he'll be able to garner a little more attention, perhaps free up some other things. That the underneath routes they've been running at camp the last couple of days with Sammy Watkins in particular, I think Josh Briscoe tweeted this out yesterday, those four-yard routes with Watkins going across the middle have been gold every single time. And the funny thing about the tweet interaction with Joshua was, okay, so that means when we're fourth and three, we should always be going for it. If Sammy...
Yeah, there's a lot that has been talked about, especially in this offseason. If you're on the 50 or 45 of the opposing team and you have, you know, a fourth and short opportunity, if the offense is that efficient and Mahomes has shown that, hey, we got to keep the chains moving, then why not go for it? It's really going to be something for Andy Reid to think about on a more consistent basis if this offense is not only what it was last year, but better. If Sammy Watkins can stay healthy, if you have Tyreek Hill going over the top or going on deep routes, Sammy Watkins underneath, maybe Damian Williams out of the backfield. There's so many opportunities, and maybe Travis Kelce intermediate or interchange that. Travis Kelce and whether he be short, going over short in a crossing route, or Sammy Watkins going intermediate, and then you have Tyreek Hill over the top. There's just so much to play with in terms of who is the defense going to cover, who is the defense going to key on. And we saw in the Patriots game in the AFC Championship, they got burned by Tyreek in the first matchup of the season in Foxborough. But Bill Belichick made it a point that you're going to have to beat us with someone else. No one, not Tyreek. Tyreek's not going to beat us today. And we'll see what happens this year in terms of how defenses go about trying to scheme against the Chiefs.
And another big deep pass down the sideline that time. Now the number twos are in, so you're not going to hear quite as many oohs and ahs, but a little missed connection with Rashard Davis down that right sideline. So that's the number twos are running right now, so a little less excitement. But they should be heading towards the final portion of their workout. Perhaps they go a little bit longer today since it's family fun day and this place is just absolutely packed and every player out here is going to be signing autographs. So we'll kind of get ready for that. But as of right now, they're running through the twos, kind of running through midfield and deep and outside routes. So
yeah,
that's kind of
and Brad,
the
I was
lay
just,
of the
line. Yeah, I was just talking about before about who are teams going to key on. I mean, it's going to open up so many opportunities if you have a healthy Sammy Watkins and DeMarcus Robinson continuing to, you know, mature and work with Mahomes. There's so many options that a defense is going to have to look at and be like, all right, who are you going to take away specifically to have the best chance defending against the Chiefs? And as I was talking about with the last year in the AFC Championship, the Patriots were pretty successful in that first half against just strictly keying on Tyreek Hill, but it also opened up opportunities for Sammy Watkins. Now, if Sammy Watkins can stay healthy and play, let's say, 12 to 14 games this year, which holds your breath because you don't know if that's going to happen, then there's a lot of different things that this offense will be able to do, and maybe even, I don't know, be better, but Andy Reid is going to have the ability to scheme up whoever, you know, however he may do. We lost Brad there once again on the tie line. But anyways, it's just going to be interesting to see what Andy Reid does with trying to get players open and how many different pieces he has to work with.
Yeah, and that's, you know, Sammy Watkins was saying during the OTAs and the mandatory minicamp, well, you know, I work hard this offseason, I work harder than ever, but we talked about this last weekend, Chris. His injury last year was a foot injury. There's not really a workout you can do for that. I just hope he stays healthy. By the way, speaking of wide receiver feet,
He was just talking about wide receiver feet. I'm interested to see what that entails with whether it be toe on the sideline or big feet. But once again, weird. It's just what were you talking about with the wide receiver feet?
I was talking about Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
I was talking about Antonio Brown, and John Gruden said he was disappointed that Antonio Brown wasn't able to work out. Well, I guess yesterday he was able to do a little bit of some walkthrough stuff and some lighter stuff, but not actually running routes yet. And then Antonio Brown posted a picture on Instagram of his feet, the bottom of his feet, and they were covered in blisters and skin was peeling off. And I'm like, the Raiders are just the Raiders. These things happen to them. My goodness.
Yeah, I'm interested. Are you pretty pumped for Hard Knocks? I'm really interested to see that dynamic, especially after what happened with the Cleveland Browns last year in terms of that whole fiasco with Hugh Jackson, Todd Haley, and Greg Williams.
It'd be hard to top that.
It is, but I think the Raiders could possibly do it, especially with John Gruden, an animated figure, in that he knows cameras are around. They always embellish a little bit when they have the cameras in front of them, exaggerate. So we'll see how it goes, especially with Antonio Brown now.
Yes. I don't see it working out well for the Raiders this year. I just don't, but that's fine. The Raiders can do whatever they want. Hey, Chris, I saw some disappointing news yesterday. Since we're talking about a couple of teams outside the Chiefs, Indianapolis Colts announced yesterday that Spencer Ware had another injury and he's out for the year again. And the reason I say it's disappointing is not because I want the Colts to do well, but Spencer Ware, for his time with the Chiefs, was a very good running back. Not great, very good, and a super good dude. Both, you know, the way he handled himself with the media, the way he worked with children's groups and charities in Kansas City. He's just a super good dude, and this just keeps happening. And at some point, I hate to say this, but at some point, maybe he's got to realize that football is just not gonna work out for him. And I feel bad because he was going to get another chance with the Colts, and now that's gone. And this may have been his last shot.
Yeah, and with the running back position, as we always say, the shelf life really for a running back, those first 4 years, if even in at that too, sometimes it's only 1 or 2 years. But Spencer Ware has been battling injuries even since he was with the Kansas City Chiefs. And when you get touches all the time, when you have a target on your back like you do while you're a running back, if you have a few injuries and that will kind of compile over the years, and if you're getting numerous amounts of touches and numerous amounts of shots to get, you know, when teams are taking shots at you, and especially with Spencer Ware, he's had some major injuries, and now it's kind of just the icing on a cake. It might be time to hang up the cleats for Spencer Ware.
Yeah, and I hate to say that again. I root for the kid. He's, like I said, he's a super good dude, and when he's actually healthy, he's pretty good, and he was pretty good in Andy Reid's offense. But just, you know, and the same thing happened with Charcandrick West. It just can't stay healthy.
As he said, can't stay healthy, and that's just the life of the NFL. If you're a running back in the NFL, that's why you're seeing with Melvin Gordon and Ezekiel Elliott and some of even other contract holdouts with running backs, that you got to get the money while you can. You don't know, especially, well, Melvin Gordon has no leverage because he hasn't been healthy until last season. But, Brad, I was just talking about how running backs, that's why the holdouts are happening with Zeke and Melvin Gordon, you just don't know how long you're going to be capable of producing at a high level in the NFL when you are that position. Even though that game has changed, you're not as many padded practices. You're not taking there's more running back by committee now. But when you're a feature back like Zeke, and he's been durable over his career to this point. But still, you never know when an injury can take that away from you.
Yep. When Larry Johnson was the number one running back for the Chiefs, and we may have him on the show here in the next week or two, talk a little Chiefs football. But when Larry Johnson had that one season where Herm Edwards had him carry the ball over 400 times, he was never the same after that. Never the same. And running backs fall off a cliff. You saw it happen with Larry Johnson. You saw it happen with Jamal Charles. And he went right off the cliff. As soon as he couldn't do it anymore, as soon as he didn't have that burst anymore, that was it. And so you're right with these holdouts. The Melvin Gordon situation, I think Ezekiel Elliott has a little more.
Zeke has way more leverage because he has been healthy.
Yes, that's the word.
He's been very healthy, and the production has been there throughout his whole career.
Yes, and I think he's in a better spot with ownership. Maybe not, though. Jerry Jones came out last week and said, I can't remember what his exact quote was, but something along the lines of, you know, we have a lot of different guys or something like that. But look.
And yeah, I mean, I don't, and from what I've heard from that arena is the Cowboys are not, they're going to stand strong. Jerry Jones is going to, he's going to stand his ground. And, but in the end, I think Zeke will get paid. I think they're going to try to get him signed, I think, before the season starts. He might miss most of training camp, but I think he'll be playing week one with the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And look,
Oh, man, this tie line is just rough right now. Hopefully, when in that 11 o'clock hour, we get it all figured out. But I understand why, and I think we've seen this when you lose Kareem Hunt last year, even though it was a big loss at the time and you thought there was going to be a drop-off. Brad, we were talking about losing Kareem Hunt, you thought that was going to be a major blow to the offense. And there you saw some drop-off. Damian Williams wasn't the full package that Kareem Hunt was, but he was good enough to, you know, make a difference out of the backfield and be a threat.
Yeah, and...
But it's just... As we said, and we talked about it earlier when it came out that Tremon Smith was going to move to a new position. I think it was Thursday when they were talking about it, or Wednesday. That the reason why Tremon Smith is moving, even though cornerback is a thin position, in my opinion, at this point, if they think that Tremon Smith can help out at the running back position, they're going to do that, Brad.
Yeah, I'm wondering with the Tremon Smith thing, I wonder if Steve Spagnuolo came in. Because I heard Soren talking about this earlier this week, where sometimes a coach will come in and say, these guys can't do what we want them to do, or how can we use them in a way that's going to be beneficial. Maybe Steve Spagnuolo and his new assistants came in and watched Tremon Smith play corner and thought, nope. I mean, he's fast, and you know, you can use him as a returner if you want, but he ain't going to play corner. And so maybe there was a conversation with Spagnuolo and the defensive staff with Andy Reid saying, look, I don't think he can do this, but I think he can help you at running back. He's done it before in his college and high school career. So
he was a quarterback in high school.
He was a quarterback, right. So it wouldn't be completely alien to him to be part of the offense. It's just, to me, that was an awfully quick hook. You're 3 and 4 days into training camp, 5 or 6 days into camp, and all of a sudden, a guy I thought would have a chance to, you know, be on this roster and at some point develop into a decent corner is all of a sudden playing running back.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, and I think Andy Reid, you know, Andy Reid saw that and was like, we can do something with that. We can work with that, especially, as we said, not having Spencer Ware and Darrell Williams. It's just, we'll see what happens, especially with Damian Williams with this hamstring injury right now. You have to have a lot of running backs that you can play with in camp. So I think it's a good move to put Tre'Mond Smith at the running back spot. Even, and he showed his worth as a kick returner too last year, one of the best in the NFL. I think Andy Reid is going to be able to do something with that, especially if you can spread him out or send him out with routes out of the backfield, and he can be a pass catching wide receiver specifically on third down situations and whatnot. I think this could be a beneficial thing for the Chiefs offense.
Yep, and we're watching again team drills as the players shuttle on and off the field. Hopefully wrapping up soon, and then they'll be signing autographs for Family Fun Day. And somebody, who was that? Somebody looked like they had to take a punishment lap. Hang on one second here.
Oh, a punishment lap.
It's not total punishment, but just do a little extra jogging. Harold Jones Courtley, a safety, third-year player. And he messed up on a crossing route and had to jog all the way.
A good old punishment lap in training camp, always fun. Some players don't like that, especially when you're at the NFL level. And especially when you're at the NFL level, Brad, a lot of guys, they don't like that. And I think I remember it was when Matt Patricia first came to the Lions, and they talked about how, yep, you know, a lot of players didn't feel like he was treating them like NFL players.
All right. Did you see what Freddie Kitchens did in Browns camp a couple days ago?
I did not.
So a couple of his players got into a little, I don't know if I call it all out fisticuffs, but, you know, pushing and shoving to where it spills out away from the main part of the field, and they're grabbing shoulder pads and helmets and all that. It was nothing major. This happens in every camp. Guys are hot. They've been beating on each other all summer in these, it's not like it used to be, but they've been beating on each other here at camp, and you're kind of get pissed off. You get tired of a guy just swim moving you or slugging you or beating you on a play, and the guys just haul off and have at it once in a while. I get it. I have no problem with that.
Yeah, there are certain times when it is measurable to.
I would say,
go ahead.
Most players I have covered in the National Football League not only expect that these scuffles are going to happen. Now, it doesn't happen a lot in Andy Reid camps. It just doesn't. But it happens. Most coaches expect it. Some even like it. I think Gunther Cunningham, the late Gunther Cunningham, God rest his soul, I think he actually really liked when players would get after it. In fact, he was the coach when the Chiefs and Saints went out and damn near had a 200-player brawl on the field in River Falls. I was there for that. And I think Gunther kind of liked that a little bit. But Freddie Kitchens decides, okay, the whole team's running gassers. Okay, it's already, halfway through practice? Maybe getting towards the end of practice, you're asking grown men, the whole team, to run gassers because two guys were shoving each other a little bit? I'm sorry. If I'm, Jarvis Landry, if I'm Odell Beckham Jr., I'm saying screw this. What are we doing here? We're professionals. If you got a problem with those two guys, and I've seen players sent off before. Like if you get two guys in a fight that kind of goes a little overboard, you just send them to the locker room.
Yeah.
We've seen that in other Hard Knocks before. But, I don't remember seeing a whole team have to line up and run.
Yeah, run gassers. I understand individual-based stuff, but this is...
Freddie Kitchens said...
Yeah, we'll go on with Freddie Kitchens, yep.
Well, Freddie Kitchens said, we're a team out here, and the team's going to do it together. Okay, so if you fine a guy for something, are you going to fine the whole team? I just thought it was a Bush League kind of move, and it shows the inexperience of not being a head coach. And I'm going to put my foot down and show these guys who's boss. You jerks are going to run gassers if you don't do what I tell you. This is going to happen again in Browns camp. It will happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's when you're going against a team, your
that
own
note.
When you're going against a team, as you were saying, Brad, every day, and you don't have an opponent to go up against, that's going to happen.
Yep, absolutely. All right, we are coming up on a break here. Any minute now, the Chiefs will be wrapping up their practice here in St. Joe. And when they do, we will bring you the press conferences live. Alec Trost is out here. Darren Smith is out here. Nate Bucati is out here. Shane Summers is out here. My name is Brad Porter. I am out here. Chris Bolig is back at the studio. We have more training camp coverage coming your way. Our coverage brought to you by Missouri Lottery, Mosaic Life Care, and GM. You're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB. We'll be right back. one of my favorite bumpers that Chris Bohlig uses here on Sports Saturday. Sports Radio 810 WHB, broadcasting live from Chiefs Training Camp in St. Joe, Missouri. Our coverage brought to you by Missouri Lottery, Mosaic Life Care, and GM. My name is Brad Porter. Also out here for Sports Radio 810 WHB is Allie Trost, Darren Smith, Nate Bucati from the Border Patrol, and Shane Saunders from The Zone with Jason Anderson. So a full staff out here. Chiefs still practicing this morning. What's that? Summers. I said Saunders, didn't I? I was thinking Al Saunders because I'm out of Chiefs practice. So I can slip into that. I can get that. Offense is going through. Actually, it's offense and defense going head-to-head right now in the middle of the field and giving fans some oohs and ahs here and there. And little zip passes they're working on. Travis Kelce, by the way, just a few minutes ago, had a huge catch by the sideline of Patrick Mahomes, and it was a bullet pass. And Kelce took about three or four.
Sounds like Travis Kelce just had a great catch at training camp. We are broadcasting live from there from St. Joe. Sorry about all the tie line mishaps with all the people out, especially on weekends at training camp. We've had some technical difficulties with, I believe, all the people out there. Usually this middle hour is especially difficult for Brad and I, but we're gonna work through it, Brad. We're gonna get through it, and we're gonna keep moving and progressing on.
Well, they just started blasting "Welcome to the Jungle" by Guns N' Roses out here, so maybe I don't know. I don't know what that means. I'm trying to find a solution. I don't like to have this problem, but I was relating to that Travis Kelce story. I don't know how much of that got there, but just about spiked the ball straight into the turf here in St. Joe. He was that excited about making a sideline catch from Patrick Mahomes. Kind of a little. Oh, I don't know. I describe it as kind of a tight end screen a little bit. It comes out about 5 or 6 yards off the line of scrimmage and zip it to the sideline. And very exciting stuff. Also, let's see, I made a note here. Rashard Davis had an awesome catch here just a couple of minutes ago. One of those guys trying to make that wide receiver bunch. And, Chris, I'm looking at this wide receiver group here, and it depends how many receivers the Chiefs want to keep, and that always comes down to that last week. And, you know, the coordinators want this number of guys. The position group coaches want this number of guys. And then, of course, Dave Tobe wants his special teams guys, and it all factors in there. So I'm looking at this wide receiver group. So you can check off Mecole Hardman. You can check off Tyreek Hill. You can check off probably DeMarcus Robinson. Check off Sammy Watkins. That's four. Then you get into some guys who are fighting for jobs. Garrett Dieter, this is his second day. He's been out for an injury. I don't know. He's 2-3 years. This will be his, second year in the league? Got to do something, show a little something more. You got Rashard Davis, who is in his first year out of James Madison, free agent.
Yeah, and Brad, just talking about this receiving group, even though
And they kept Byron Pringle last year, even though he was injured. And that may have just been, he's injured. Maybe it's not too bad, but we're going to try to find a way to hide him for the year. So they still got Byron Pringle, Cody Thompson. So you're going to have, after number four on the wide receiver depth chart, I think you're going to have a pretty good battle, not only here in camp, but those first couple of preseason games.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, we know what's going to happen at the top when you have Robinson, Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins. Mecole Hardman, my bad, and Travis Kelce. But what's going to happen after that? You know, we talked about Sammy Watkins having trouble staying healthy. So we'll see. We'll see in this camp who fights it out and who will be on the 53 man roster from the wide receiver side. We now have Seren Petro in studio getting his iPad set up here to help us out a little bit with all these connection problems. Seren, how are you doing? We really appreciate you coming in and helping us through this these tough technical difficulties.
You know, listen, I'm going to tell you the joys of live radio, right, Brad?
Yes, always. We had a little issue last weekend as well. We'll be clean for an hour.
and just then, like that.
Then you get that. That's the joy.
Just like
of
that.
So I'm sitting there, like my Saturday, my Sunday routine is to sit and listen to Sports Saturday and Sports Sunday and get things done right before the kids' day gets up and running. At least right now we don't have soccer games. And I sat there and I'm like, all right, now I'm getting pissed. So I'm like, if I'm getting pissed, I'm sure somebody else out there listening is getting pissed. So I'm like, that's it. Forget it. I'm just going down there. I'm going to bail the boys out. Not bail out, but help out.
Believe me.
Trust me, because I know the frustration. And it listen, here's the thing, though. I think we should – I don't know. You guys might have pointed this out already, but I didn't hear it if you did, about it's because of the fans. It's the fans' fault that this is happening because we've had a setup that for 9 years
yes.
has worked at Chiefs training camp and has been gold for us to broadcast from camp. And now there's too damn many fans, which is a great thing, right?
It's a good thing. Very
yes.
good thing.
All the fans are coming, and so now they need more room for fans. And so they came to us and said, hey, can we move you? And, of course, we said, of course, we'll move. But now the whole technological side of what we've always done for 9 years, it always had its bumps along the way because you're kind of rewiring things every year. Now it's like, okay, now move to this place. And now we got to go through all the hiccups that we went through back, you know, in 2000 and whatever it was, 11 or 10, our first year up there. Now we're going through all that again about getting everything there. And so this is the joys of live radio when you do that.
Hey, this is what happens when live radio kicks in and you're dealing with things that are out of your control, as Seren was saying.
Yeah.
But that's fine. That's a good thing for Chiefs Kingdom because they have been, especially on these weekends, with everyone off work, have really been showing out at these practices and really supporting the team.
And Brad, I don't know how much you've talked about it today, but like, where is the crowd? The weekend crowds have just been giant, right? We know during
yes.
the week it's a little bit harder, but the weekend crowds, that first weekend, 17,000 in 2 days. What are
yep.
we looking at? You know, it's like, I think 8,000 at the 330, which is usually the bigger one. And then what I think is amazing is the next day, 9,000, the Sunday practice at 9 a.m. was actually even bigger than the opening practice. What are we looking at today, would you guess?
Oh, it's jammed today because, as you know, today is Family Fun Day, which
okay.
means every player will be asked to sign
Autographs.
To sign autographs, yeah. I like it.
And
yeah.
we're broadcasting. They moved our spot. So they used to be – I think we were by the defensive linemen, the sleds. And then they moved it to right next to the Kona Ice Stand, and there's not a great view
yeah.
of what's going on at practice.
Yeah, and the best, you know who loves it the most? The Kona Ice Stand, because now everyone is very much
yes.
aware that there is a Kona Ice Stand. Our coverage, drops and all, brought to you by the Missouri Lottery, Mosaic Life Care, and your GMC dealers. As Brad Porter, warrioring up. With Sports Saturday.
We're getting through it.
We're getting pieces and nuggets. I wanted to ask you, Brad, something you guys were talking about
yep.
that I thought was really of note, and that's Tano Passanio. Because you've mentioned his name a couple of times. Nate has mentioned his name a couple of times. I think part of it is everybody loves the story of a guy late to football.
Yes.
Everybody loves the guy who looks like an absolute Greek god, which Tano Passanio does. You know, he is, you know, if you're going to like, okay, who on the team – might you look at it and go, oh, maybe this guy's a bodybuilder. Okay, he's one of them, right? They're just ripped but still huge
yep.
type of guys and really thoughtful, super smart, bright guy. We don't like that he went to Villanova, at least I don't. But other than that, right, other than that, he's a guy that you absolutely want to root for. And for 2 years, he's been an absolute no-show. But now he's showing out. And I think finally this 4-3 defense is what he belonged in all along. I'm not sure – what John Dorsey, who I think is a really bright talent guy, but I'm not sure what John Dorsey saw in him when he drafted him, that and how they got into camp, whether this was Bob Sutton. And listen, the organization should just throw Bob Sutton and John Dorsey under the bus and say this was their harebrained idea to make him a 6'7", 288-pound linebacker, whether it was or wasn't. You know, that's what they should do so that he gets a fresh start. But he has always looked the part of a Steve Spagnuolo defensive lineman in his 4-3. Long, lean, that's what he was rocking with the Giants.
You see him in Yora and
yeah.
like Justin Tuck.
Justin Tuck.
Yeah, like I completely agree. Where do you think, they talked about Tana Passanio, we talked about that for a second, but Breland Speaks, where do you think he fits? I mean, you've been up at practice a few times. I haven't been up to St. Joe, but what do you think his role is going to be on the defense this year, at least the defensive line. Do you think he sees much action or is going to be an impactful presence?
Right. Well, and that's I'll quote Josh Briscoe, who said earlier this week, I'm standing and looking at Tano Passanio and Breland Speak stand side by side, and I can't believe that they would ever have jobs that are even remotely related to each other. Just in how different the body types are, which does speak to, you know, hey, there are different ways to get a job done. I said this last year, and I think Breland Speaks, his future may be Keith Traylor-esque. Brad, you remember Keith Traylor. That might
even, yeah.
Bowling's such a snot-nosed punk, he might not even remember the Keith Traylor days. But Keith Traylor came out as a linebacker out of a smaller school and then, you know, was a big body guy. I'm not going to say he ate his way out of the position because there are some guys that have to eat their way up to linebacker. He was born linebacker size, but as he filled out and got his man weight, you know, he got into the 290s, and then eventually, I think when they said, okay, go to D lineman. Yeah, he was 260, 270 trying to play linebacker. They said, all right, we're going to make you a D lineman. He ended up playing in the Super Bowl for the Denver Broncos after he left the Chiefs for a lucrative free agent contract. He ended up playing D tackle for the Denver Broncos in the Super Bowl and played really well, I might add. And I think that's Breland Speaks, man. And he never should have been around linebacker. He is a bigger bodied guy. He doesn't naturally shed weight. He's not going to have a 3% body fat the way. I mean, there's genetics in a 4% body fat. I'm never going to have 40% body fat, for crying out loud. But there are guys that are just going to be bigger guys, and he's one of those guys. And I'm not. I think they've got a real dilemma. I think they know where to put Tano Passanio. I think Breland Speaks is now the guy. It's like, where does he fit? He's
does
definitely
he just
a D lineman.
Up and get inside and put him inside, or do you keep him on the outside, maybe, and you know, run situations, possibly setting the edge?
Yeah,
I really don't know where he fits essentially.
And that's my point. And Brad, Keith Traylor ate his way all the way down to nose tackle, to D tackle, and I'm talking about the old school Gilbert Brown
over the
style.
Center.
Yeah,
yes.
330, 340. I mean, I think that's the future of Breland Speaks. I would get him under the bench and under the squat rack and in the deadlift, and I would say, listen, eat whatever you want, but you're going to go to work here. This is where you're going to go to work. He tested like a D-line freak. Like, if he was an interior defensive line the way he tested at the combine, his numbers are phenomenal, and I'm not so sure that we aren't going to watch now a one-year transition, which is why you got to get your coaches right. If you wasted a year of him trying to play linebacker, now you're going to spend a year with him trying to bulk back up and become an interior defender, you've wasted, you know, 32 of 64 games you control the guy economically for trying to make that transition happen. But I think when it's all said and done, you know, that interior D-line's where he's headed, Brad.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think you've talked about this a number of times over the last several weeks, maybe even the last year. There are times when after a draft or after free agent signings, players actually get to camp and some of the coaches look around and maybe either the GM and think, oh my God, we made a huge mistake. This is not what we needed him to do. This is not what we drafted him to do, or what we did draft him to do is not going to work. And I think that that's what happened in Passanio's case. Physically, to me, and you'll remember this player, he looks like he's been stretched out from the frame of Marvkus Patton, if that makes sense, because Marvkus was just ripped to shreds.
Yeah.
Kind of like Passanio.
Yeah, he's one of those
even
guys.
Like, maybe a Trace.
Trace. I'm trying to guess. Tracy Simeon? Was he going down Tracy Simeon?
Your guess is as good as mine, sir.
Tracy Simeon, where were you going?
I was just saying, if like you took his friend, like how ripped and muscular he was, but stretch him out to a 6'7" size, that doesn't work at linebacker
right,
where they're trying to play Passanio the last 2 years.
Yeah,
no, and that was my point.
Yeah, and listen, you know that body type. I mean, he obviously can carry a lot of weight, and carry it well, right? We know that. You know that's something that he absolutely can do. You were talking about Tano Passanio here because he carries it really, really well. Now you just got to find the best way to use him. And I think that's one of the things that I think became a problem of Bob Sutton. Listen, Andy Reid's no spring chicken age-wise, but he is not old in his thinking, right? I think this is true of everyone. Everybody gets old at a certain time, right? The you know, when music is all crap, right? Today's music is all crap. You're old. You do not have the new, the ear of things change. Things always change and evolve. Can you change and evolve with them? And I think Andy Reid clearly can. He's not running Bill Walsh's West Coast offense, Mike Holmgren, his West Coast offense. He has evolved and adapted to the changing times of the game. He is not just powering with a fullback leading through for a tailback on his run plays. His run plays now include wide receivers coming around on reverses and flips and tosses and everything. I think Bob Sutton got old. I think Bob Sutton's defense ceased to evolve his last year with the Jets, and I think he came to Kansas City, and it was somewhat progressive for a couple of years, and he had decent talent, and he was fine. But for the last 3 years, it had not evolved. And everything you saw on tape from the year before, he was still doing. And he had not evolved the defense, could not evolve the defense, to say, okay, Tana Passanio doesn't look like anything I'm used to plugging in. So what has to happen at that point is, okay, what does Tana Passanio do, and how can I use him? The best they could come up with is, well, he's pretty fast. Let's try him at linebacker, which was crap. It's at that time that you got to say, listen, I've got this long, angular defensive lineman. I got to try him in these other spots where it might work. Maybe he's a bigger D end than you'd expect in a 4-3, or maybe he's a little bit lighter, certainly lighter in the, you know, talk about the lead in the ass, your ability to hold the point of attack on a run. Maybe he's lighter there because he doesn't have that big, thick lower body like Breeland Speaks does. That's really good to anchor down and take on a double team and hold your ground against a run. So let's not use him there, but let's work on his pass rush techniques and make him a pure interior pass rush guy so we can go Chris Jones and Tano Passanio on the inside. 6'6 and 6'7, putting their arms up is a difficult thing to try to, you know, throw the football through. And if you can teach him the pass rush techniques, then in past years when you had Dee Ford and Justin Houston on the outside and those two on the inside, you've got a pass rush, you know, that you can really attack with. But they just weren't even able to come up with any kind of legitimate way to try to use him. And that's a failure on the defensive coaching staff's part, and that's why they're all not here.
I think a failure of stunting and, you know, maybe zone blitzes and whatnot. There was just no creativity up front, or maybe have all, you know, all the defensive linemen standing at the line. There was just nothing that gave you faith that they were going to make changes throughout the course of a game. And that was apparent when, you know, Tom Brady and them were, or in people on the Patriots offense were like, yeah, we knew what they were doing.
Right.
And Julian Edelman just going on simple 5-yard speed outs and make it getting 8 to 10 yard gains whenever he wanted to.
It was the way I would put it, Brad, is Bob Sutton lined up to play prevent defense for 80 snaps a game.
Yes, and I believe Sharkhendrick Ward may have gotten in the doghouse a little bit earlier in one of those OTAs. He had talked about the defense last year, and he said, look, everybody we played against knew exactly what we were doing. And he probably shouldn't have said that out loud in front of the media, but he did. And I think you could see a lot of players looking around last year like, okay, here we are doing the same old thing. What are the Patriots going to do? Well, we're going to exploit everything because we know exactly what you're going to do. Yeah, here's Julian Edelman. You know, even though he...
Well, yeah, and you know where Edelman's going to go, but I'll go a step further. You're talking about Charvarius Ward. I think also what there was a problem with Bob Sutton was an unwillingness to play young players. And I think that finally, you know, I said this last year, and I don't know, this may have never been thought about, but I said this last year, listen, at the end of this season, either you blow up your front office or you blow up your defensive coaching staff. There's no more that we can keep coming back with this because the players aren't getting on the field. Right? You're going back to Ron Parker. You had decided you didn't need Ron Parker. To me, the day they went and signed Ron Parker, it was time to fire somebody. And it just wasn't the time that you could do it. But you knew at that point you were going to have to make major wholesale changes when you're drafting guys and they can't get on the field. You're signing guys, trading for guys like Charvarius Ward, and they're not getting on the field to even prove themselves. What is going on in practice? What is going on in film rooms that you don't even know what you're going to do? All right, we're going to take a break here on Sports Saturday. Brad Porter is running the operation from up at Chiefs Training Camp. Our coverage brought to you by the Missouri Lottery. Play it forward with the Missouri Lottery. Mosaic Life Care, you know, they're the official health care provider of the 2019 Chiefs Training Camp. Mosaic Life Care, your hometown sports medicine resource for athletes of all ages. And then, of course, our friends at the Kansas City GMC dealers. More from Chiefs Training Camp next right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. All right, welcome back to Sports Saturday here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro with you as you, the fans, the Kansas City Chiefs fans, have taken over Chiefs training camp. And God bless you. You've done a phenomenal job in supporting the Chiefs. The number is so big that they're adding grandstands. Therefore, we've had to juggle around our broadcast position, which comes with some challenges, some trials and tribulations, and we're working through those. We're going to be going to the tent here in a little bit. I know Anthony Hitchens and Carlos Hyde are going to talk today. Do we know what coach is up? I know one of them is up today.
I have not seen which coach is coming up yet. But Soren,
Reed. I just got word, so it'll be Reed, and then in some order Hitchens and Hyde today from the podium. Go ahead, Brad.
Soren, I was going to go back to a point you made in the last segment, and I think this might be a good comparison. So you were saying at the end of last year, it was either going to have to be blow up the front office or blow up the coaching staff because you bring in a Ron Parker who should not have been on this roster. And it made me think of the Orlando Scandrick situation. He should probably have never been on the roster. And I'm wondering if there was a Brett Veach moment where, kind of like Billy Bean in Moneyball, where he keeps arguing with Art Howe, don't play Carlos Pena. We got to play Hatteberg at first. It's Hatteberg at first. And Art Howe wouldn't do it. And then finally Billy Bean says, okay.
Yeah, Billy Bean says, no, you're going to play Hatteberg at first. Can't play Pena at first because I just traded him. And, I think, listen, from what I understand, there was that moment. And I think that moment came late last season when Charvarius Ward was inserted into the lineup. When it was finally, I think the Chargers, you know, we know how bad that last coverage was, where the Chargers are wide open. Number one, they're able to run down the Chiefs and come back from 14 down to win the game at Arrowhead. And I think, you know, that was the moment because we saw Charvarius Ward play and then play at a fairly high level. We know the Chiefs liked him. They traded for him in camp, giving up Parker Anger, who, by the way, just signed with the Cardinals yesterday. Give you an idea how that was a steal by the Chiefs front office, if indeed Charvarius Ward can play, which he showed a lot of signs that he could last year. But I think you're absolutely right, Brad. I think that's exactly what happened. I think that moment came last year, and I think that was the writing on the wall that they were finally going to make a change at defensive coordinator, and with that came changes, wholesale changes for the defensive staff. And I think, listen, I like Brett Veach. I like John Dorsey. I like Andy Reid. At some point, though, just because you like somebody doesn't mean you sit and make excuses for him. There's no doubt. Particularly, I think Mecole Hardman's a big one. Twice Brett Veach, and running the draft, has traded up in the second round to go get a guy. And I'm not a big trade-up guy. I'm a big trade-down guy. Those guys got to produce. One of those two guys really needs to produce this year, and certainly I'll give Mecole Hardman a year to kind of get his feet. He needs to produce by next year for sure. You've got to hit on those. But I think one thing we can do, at least on the defensive side, is now you kind of turn the page, and it doesn't erase whatever Brett Veach did in trading for Reggie Ragland his first year. You know, he didn't get the draft in 2017, but he did take over after the draft. And he made the move for Ragland and Cam Irving. We'll judge him on those moves. He made the moves on signing waiver wire guys and all that, and we'll judge him on those moves. But I do think that one of the things you've got to do is judge a guy and how he works with coaches. And so I think now defensively we judge Brett Veach. How does Brett Veach's drafting look with Steve Spagnuolo? Is there a harmony there? Do they do a better job of putting those people together? By the way, you're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB here in Kansas City. We're getting ready to hear from the tent. Andy Reid, Carlos Hyde, Anthony Hitchens, all scheduled to be in the tent today. Brad Porter there at the practice field. But to finish up your point, Brad, I do think there was that moment of, listen, play the young guys. And I think that's where Andy Reid has to get in there. And ultimately, whether he wants to or not, that's where Andy Reid, we can put this on Andy Reid's plate. I don't want to act like, you know, he's just on the side, an innocent bystander, watching his defensive coordinator and his general manager communicate. It ultimately is on Andy Reid. And so Andy Reid has to be the guy that says, look, we're playing these guys. Or, Brett, you're drafting guys that suck. You need to draft different guys. Ultimately, it comes down, and Andy Reid is a big factor in deciding which way to go with the talent on the field. But I think there's no doubt when you went to Romp, well, I need a guy who knows my system. Well, your system sucks. If you can't get talent on the field, part of creating a system is creating a system that guys can get on the field and play ball with. And they couldn't do that under Bob Sutton.
No, and I agree with you. And for, you know, the head coach, and look, the NFL works like this. Your head coach is either offensive-minded or defensive-minded, unless you happen to hire a special teams guy like a Dave Tobe. That's just the way it is. And for Andy Reid, we all know he's the offensive-minded coach. But sooner or later, it's like, I was going to make a reference to a mafia movie. I'll just go that way since it popped into my head. The Godfather's not involved in the everyday details of the operation. He gets involved when there's a problem. And it had become a problem. And it was time for a Godfather-like posture to say, okay, we cannot do this anymore. We are not only falling backwards every season, we're falling so far back that we're at the end. We are the worst defense in the National Football League. And that had to be a conversation. I'm sure, you know, he didn't scream at Bob Sutton about it, just saying, Bob, we got to do something different. We got to make a change, and unfortunately, you got to go.
Yeah, no, and to their credit, they did. I think it's a year late.
Right.
I think it might be a year late because Steve Spagnuolo didn't say yes the first year, and I don't think he didn't say yes because he didn't want the job. I think he wanted a year to kind of decompress. And I think, honestly, he kind of had the idea that, look, if I'm going to take a next step as a defensive coach, and maybe I'm sure he's got designs. I think he had a bad situation in St. Louis as a head coach. If I'm going to take that next step and blow up and be a great defensive coordinator, if I'm going to take that next step and hopefully get my name back into the mix for a head coaching job, you know, I'm sure he talked to a lot of people and they said, look, my time away was a big part of how I evolved. You know, I had a chance to look at everything else. Because I do think when you're a coordinator or a head coach, you're mired in your tape. You're mired in your opponent's tape. But you're not looking at, hey, you know, I hear Florida Atlantic's doing some really cool stuff down there. Go take a look at that. You don't have time to go take a look at other people's ideas. And you don't have time to call around and say, hey, you know, so it's Bill, you know, I'm trying to think of somebody who left. You know, Dick Vermeil, you left and you came back. You know, what was it? What did you miss? You know, learn all the different things and try to gain as much knowledge and information about how to make yourself better. I think NFL coaches, even in the offseason, I mean, people, Andy Reid's not just checking into the office for a couple hours in the offseason, right? I mean, and I know, like, teachers work a lot more in the summer than we would understand with their continuing education and prepping their lesson plans. At least I hope they do. Putting things together, all that kind of stuff. But there is definitely some downtime if you're a teacher. There's downtime for NFL coaches. I'm not here to tell you they're burning 20 hours, 7 days a week like they do in season. But there's still a lot of work, and all that work is micro-focused on your now 85-man or 80-man roster and what you've got, and your now assigned 16 games and what you have to do to compete, and then the top teams in your conference that you have to get through to get to the Super Bowl. And I think that it's entirely possible that Steve Spagnuolo just said, I need a year away, Andy. I'll be there for you. I'm sorry to say no now, but I'll be available next year. But I need a year. I'm getting paid by the Giants. I know we had a two-year deal as the DC of the Giants, which is a rarity and speaks to what the Giants thought of them as a defensive coordinator, because usually all the position coaches are on 1 years that are renewed at the coach's whim on it. Coordinators, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe coordinators have become more of a multi-year deal because of how important they become. But I think he said, look, I'm getting paid. I want to use this year to get better. So if you got a spot next year, yeah, give me a call. If you don't, I'll see what's out there. And I think because of that, I'm optimistic that Steve Spagnuolo, who I already think is a very good defensive coordinator, with a year off will be a great defensive coordinator, having had time to try to get better himself, if that makes sense.
Yes, and I think the clean break, I think you hit that exactly right, because in particular, the situation he had in St. Louis, and this is just my take, I didn't cover the Rams, but at that time, they had an owner with 1 foot and $1 billion running out the door to try to get to L.A. They wanted to burn that thing to the ground before they left, and I get the impression the Raiders have been doing that for the last 3 years, even though they, you know, they get an Antonio Brown, that's great and all. But the Rams at that time had 1 foot out the door. They could have cared less. They did.
Yeah. No, and your point, Brad, is a good one, that it was a difficult spot there and everything that was going on. We do have Andy Reid coming. He is headed towards the podium. So he is going to be there in just a matter of few seconds. So we will hear what the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. So you can hear behind Brad, go Reid!
Reid! Yeah, there's a crush of fans running to the fences here because it's family fun day and all the players are going to sign autographs. And I was going to tell you, just because of what happened to you last year or 2 years ago, I always pause very carefully when I say I'm in the 8-10 tent.
Yeah.
To make sure that I say it correct. To make sure that I say it correctly.
All right, here's Andy Reid at the podium.
Has a sore knee. We're just looking at that. Dieter, his back, it's getting better. Lucas, hamstring strain is getting better. Williams is getting better. Good to get out here. Again, crowd was great. A lot of folks, last couple days, actually. And we got good work in. So with that, time's yours.
It seems like every day Ron Thornhill is making a place for you back there. Is this what you saw from him that led you to draft?
Yes. So we got to see him play corner and safety in college. So he did a little bit of each, and one consistency was he made plays both spots. So, and he's doing that out here. He was, early he was getting his hand on the ball, but he wouldn't get the picks. Now he's making the picks.
I know he's in some sub-pack right now, but what's he got to do to earn even more points?
Yeah, just keep more reps. You know, right now he's getting a ton of them, so just continue to play. Experience will be the thing. A young guy.
Coach, I know back with OTAs, you had high praise for Anthony Hitchens. He's being one of the leaders coming back on Steve Finch. Just through a couple of weeks of camp, just what have you seen from him now that Pat's been on?
Yeah, Hitch brings great energy every play, every day, and he's smart. And so you know, he leads the middle of that defense right there. That's what he does.
I know Damian Wilson didn't practice today, but how is he meshing in with Anthony Hitchens?
I'll tell you, well, he and Anthony are close, so from being at Dallas together. So he is he's extremely smart. Doesn't make very many mistakes out here. I mean, he's a very accurate player.
Damian, with regard to Damian Williams, do you sense he'll be back anytime soon?
Yeah, I think so. I can't tell you exactly when, but I believe it will be, yeah.
What's he missed up to this point?
Right, missed quite a bit, yeah. You know, missed a lot of plays. It's been great for these other guys, though. So.
Like Carlos? Talk about Carlos.
Yeah, Carlos has done a nice job. He's getting a lot of reps, and he's taking advantage of them.
Coach, during training camp and preseason, how important for you as a coach the young guys earn their playing time and earn their reps out there?
Yeah, well, I think it's a combination. I mean, you got to earn it by working hard. So, and then when you have opportunities, take advantage of the opportunities. Don't make the same mistake twice. All those things become important if you want to get into that rotation or the play rotation.
Coach, what have you seen in terms of progression since camp started to where Mecole Hardman is now? He's obviously getting a lot more reps with the ones.
Yeah, I think you see consistency, just play speed consistency, and. I mean, he's working his tail off. He's actually had a couple nice days there.
Coach, a lot of new faces on the defense. Now that you see them go live, how do you evaluate how they're coming together and how Coach Spagnuolo is doing?
Yeah, I like the energy. I like the way they're challenging right now. On both sides of the ball, we've still got ways to go. So we've got to keep competing against each other and getting ourselves better. But every day I see improvement on the defensive side. And that becomes important because it's new. You're going to see some things there, some steps forward. So that's appreciated that.
Yeah. A couple more guys.
Looking at, I mean, they can't tackle. There's not a lot of hitting. When you look at the defense to evaluate it on tape and with your eye, what are you looking for?
So you weren't here yesterday, I presume, because we did tackle. And so today was not a tackling day. But, I mean, we evaluate all that, right? So we look at that, and then we'll evaluate the preseason games. Some of it's just a matter of scheme. I mean, how are you handling the scheme and the adjustments? Right now, the offense is going to throw a lot of things at you. How do you adjust to that? And so you evaluate those things. And then are you in position to make a play? I mean, we're going fast. Even in these stud periods, like you saw today, we're going fast. So are you in position to make the play? And so that's how you evaluate that. Yeah.
Coach, Andy, because you mentioned preseason games. Is it too early to start talking about Cincinnati? Thoughts about?
Yeah, I'll get that to you as we go here. I haven't put much time or thought into that right this minute. I mean, normally I go with ones for a quarter or so, but I mean, I haven't even got that far yet. But.
Last three, go ahead.
Coach, we got three Chiefs players, three former Chiefs players going to the Hall of Fame tonight. You coached against a few of them that are going in. Just your thoughts on the Hall of Fame ceremony tonight and those that are going
in. Yeah, what a great honor, huh? What a great honor. And that means a career well done in a lot of ways. So. I'm happy and proud for all of them. Like I said, that's it's a great honor. You're the elite of the elite. So
They need to just enjoy that moment. It's something special.
Coach, are the rookies where you expected them to be at this point for camp?
Yeah, they're improving. I mean, in general, I tell you, they're improving every day. They're working hard at it. One advantage of being up here is there's not a lot else to do other than we meet, eat, and practice. So, you know.
Last one, Nate. How's the food up here, Coach?
Food's great. Yeah. People here do a phenomenal job. Yeah.
Good barbecue?
I'll get you a cheeseburger later.
Last one, Nate.
You do this before that. Defenses aren't really in basic sort of formations anymore. With the three safeties you have with Thornhill, Sorensen, and obviously Teron, how much do you think you guys will use those three in certain situations, and how much have you noticed of that in practice so far, those three guys working together?
Yeah, so Spag's rolling a lot of people in there. Mm-hmm. Giving people opportunities to show. But those three, you know, there's going to be a time and place where, yeah, you have three of them on the field. Yeah, sure. All right, we're good?
Yeah.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, there is Andy Reid, head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, Anthony Hitchin, and Carlos Hyde to follow. I thought interesting stuff there from Andy Reid when asked about Damian Williams. He seemed very blunt. He's missed a lot. Yeah, he's missed a lot of plays. And then going into Carlos Hyde and said, Carlos Hyde, the other guys, it's been great for the other guys. Carlos Hyde has really taken advantage of it. And maybe a statement being made there to Damian Williams. Damian Williams, for the first time in his career, being installed as the number one back for a team and now not on the field. And maybe some frustration, maybe not. I might be reading something into it, but I know how coaches think. And I know availability is as big a part as your physical ability. I mean, that's great if you're a great talent, but if you can't get on the field, coaches can't use it. And I felt like there was a little bit of a message being sent there maybe to Damian Williams. And maybe Carlos Hyde is going to make his way into being the number one guy. He's not, you know, nothing. And if you're like, well, he didn't catch the ball like Damian Williams. I know, neither did Spencer Ware. But Andy Reid's so good at scheming plays. He'll get Carlos Hyde wide open a couple of times, just like he did Spencer Ware. And I don't think Damian Williams would fall off, but I think we all agree Damian Williams should best be your number two back, right? Does anybody say, no football team has 22 guys exactly like they want as starters and 30 guys, including the backups. Let's go hear what Anthony Hitchens, middle linebacker, has to say.
You seem like you may also be in that role. How do you feel like you're one of the leaders, or are you one of the leaders?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I take pride in being a leader. I set the defense. I get everybody lined up, and I try to lead by example the right way on and off the field. And those guys are the same way. A lot of energy. If you guys have been watching practice, you see the defensive side is a little more energetic. More guys are running around having fun. So, everyone leads in different ways. I probably won't be the one that's out there yelling and jumping up and down and rah-rahing, but there's other ways to lead, and mine is more in the classroom and getting guys right and make sure we perform on Sunday.
You mentioned before, Anthony, a year ago, that you were spending time in your own notebook trying to figure out everything that was your responsibilities in the previous defense.
Yeah.
How are you trying to approach it this year with another defense, obviously, and new teammates to sort of figure out next year? What
yeah.
you're going about trying to
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Grasping everything.
Yeah, this is my third year and my third scheme. So I'm used to it. Every playbook is different. This one has its challenges, pros and cons, and every defense. And I'm just learning. I'm not just learning the mic position, the will, the buck, the Sam. I'm learning all of them. You never know where you might end up in the season. So I'm learning them all, trying to embrace it the best way I can, and I try to feed all the info that I get to my other teammates.
What's it like working with Damian Wilson after being doused together, now being here together?
Yeah, it's a good reunite. That guy is out here forcing fumbles and interceptions every day. So he's a good ball player. He's going to help us win a lot of games this year. And all I could do here is just be a bigger brother and help him out and this scheme and everything.
How much more comfortable do you feel going back to a 4-3 as opposed to a 3-4-1? Obviously, last year you weren't used to that mm-hmm. playing 4-3 in Dallas, and now you're going back to it.
Yeah, it's very comfortable. My 4 years in college was a 4-3. 4 years in Dallas was a 4-3, and my 1 year last year was a 3-4. So I'm comfortable with it. A lot of similar terminology, similar line stunts and back rotations, ends with 3-deep. So I'm familiar with it, and I'm trying to get better at it, and I'm just trying to have the best year yet.
You mentioned the guys playing with energy. Is just mm-hmm. them running around having fun, or those
the big ways that you notice the energy level, or are there other ways that you can tell?
Yeah, well, it starts with Spags. That guy, I'm sure you guys interviewed him a couple of times. He has a lot of energy, and he just feeds off from just coaching staff all the way to the players, and we needed that, and I'm just glad he's part of you know our defense, our staff. Well, in my opinion, he's the best quarterback in the league. He's mobile, and he can pass, he can scramble, he can extend plays, and he can throw the ball 80 yards on the field. So it forces us to play defense for more, like two or three more seconds than normal. And there's a run pass read, there's quarterback option. So you get all your work at practice. So when games show up, it's a lot easier. So we're getting our work in. We're going back and forth. There's days we win, there's periods we win, then they come back and win. That's how it's supposed to be. As long as we're not out here getting beat and demolished every single day. But we're going back and forth, so that's a good sign. So we just got to keep building.
What are your initial impressions of Frank
Clark? He's everything that you expected. He's a great rusher. He can play the run. He's running to the ball from one end to the other end. He's going to help us win a lot of games. And just excited, you know, to be able to play with him. I watched him play. I played against him when he was at Michigan. I went to Iowa. So I heard about him and seen him play for a long time. And it's been an honor so far playing with him.
How different is the energy level from last year's training camp to this one? Obviously, you guys could have potentially seven new starters, new defensive coordinator, new scheme and everything. You guys seem more lively this year in practice, especially in pads.
Yeah, different players and different coaches and different, just a different feel. Not really, it's hard to explain. It's just one of those things you got to be in there and just feel it. But we're not really speaking on, you know, last year's or whatever. It's about 2019 and how we're going to embrace it. And one of the things is be great and bring energies.
All right, Anthony Hitchens at the podium. We'll go back there when we get the signal back, linebacker. Question about being more lively. Different players, different coaches. Not going to talk about last year, but I think that's been one of the common themes, and I think Steve Spagnuolo is a much more energetic type of defensive coordinator and is a guy that I know from talking to people around the league, players really like and really like playing for. I think he is much more energetic. I don't know age-wise. I mean, if you look at him on TV, he looks younger. Quite a bit younger than Bob Sutton, but age-wise, I'm not sure. I'd have to look up how far apart they are, but definitely how he carries himself as a more energetic individual than Bob Sutton, and that carrying over to his team. Listen, we could say whatever we want at training camp, and let's hear more of Anthony Hitchens at the podium.
Our goal is to be great and bring some energy and run to the ball, so that's what we're doing, and it's going to burn a lot of calories and a lot of energy. So,
personally, do you think
Yeah, I do. Last year around this time, I think I pulled a hamstring and I was out for 2 weeks. I'm still rolling right now, take care of my body. So just knock on wood, stay healthy, and just keep running to the ball.
All set here, guys. Thanks, Anthony. Thank you.
All right, there is Anthony Hitchens. Carlos Hyde due up next. Hitchens, I thought one of the more interesting things that he had to say was about learning all the linebacker positions. I think he's got to be a middle linebacker in this defense. The Mike. For you football nerds out there, as opposed to the Sam, which if you're a casual fan means strong side linebacker, which would be the tight end side, which is a lot harder to figure out these days because teams run two tights or they flex out the tight end out to a slot position in the wide receivers. So don't get worried. You just got people trying to make themselves sound like they are some kind of football expert. And the Will is the weak side linebacker. Carlos Hyde's been getting reps at running back. Here he is at the podium.
Most of the offense is, see how many points they put up on defenses. It was a no-brainer for me. Definitely can, you know, find a position in this offense and some way, somehow contribute to this team and, you know, help them win.
You got a chance to get a number of reps of Daniel
McDowell.
How are you feeling? How would you grade your performance so far in training camp?
I give myself like a B+ so far. You know, because I always feel like there's room to improve, you know. I'm never satisfied. So every day, you know, I just try to come out and get better. You know, that's what pass pro, catching the ball, you know, running the ball, you know, just understanding the plays better. You know, so every day I'm just trying to come out and improve. So far, I've given myself a B+.
How is your understanding of the playbook?
I think it's coming along pretty good. You know, I got a good feel on things. You know, I study my plays. So I come out and I know my job. Never out there, you know, not understanding what my job is. So I think I got a pretty good feel on it.
Was part of the allure the way that Andy is able to scheme running backs open with screens and everything and get them the ball and get them in open space? Was that part of the allure coming here?
Honestly, I didn't really run too many screens, you know, with the other teams I've been on. So, but I've always wanted to, though. The coaches just didn't call them. But I always wanted to. And I see, you know, here that they run a lot of screens here. And screens can pay off. You know, you can get big gains out of screens and, you know, explosive plays out of screens. So I'm definitely excited to be a part of that.
What do you think about your offensive teammates?
I mean, everybody comes out every day and compete. The receivers, they bust their ass. The running backs bust their ass. The tight ends, everybody's working. You know, it's not just one guy, though, which is good, though. You know, it's a whole offense out here working together and, you know, coming out here every day competing and trying to get better. So, you know, the whole offense has been standing out to me. So. The defense has been doing a good job, you know, with their blitzing. You know, we had to make some adjustments to that because they was getting us at one point. And also their coverage, though, they've been making plays. You see some guys getting.
All right, Carlos Hyde there at the podium. We get the signal back. We'll go back to him. Give myself a B+. There's always room for improvement. I like hearing that. Kind of like hearing, he didn't seem like, oh, yeah, I had to get to Kansas City when asked about, you know, why the decision. You know, oh, the screen game and Andy Reid's ability to scheme you open. Let's go back and hear more of me talking to you about Carlos Hyde before we go back to hearing Carlos Hyde at the podium, the running back for the Kansas City Chiefs. Here he is right now.
Playing at that level, but I think we can take it a step ahead, though.
Carlos, what gets you motivated in the offseason?
What keeps me motivated in the offseason? My son. I got a son, so that's all the motivation I need, you know. I come out, you know, I bust my ass every day, so to make a better life for him, you know, provide better opportunities for him when he's growing up.
A week from today, you've got a real game coming up. For you in the preseason, what do you want to find out about yourself? What do you want to accomplish personally?
Preseason, I just want to be on point, you know, execute my plays, whatever, whenever coach called my number, you know, execute that play, make plays for the offense, show the coaches when it comes to game time that they can definitely count on me and show Pat also that he can count on me, throwing me the ball, you know, when it comes, you know, when it's real, when it's live for real. So.
You mentioned before that Andy was one of the reasons you joined the Chiefs. Just what have you learned about Andy Reid since you came aboard and seen him here in training?
So far what I learned from Coach Reid is just, you know, he's a calm, collective guy. You know, you don't hear too much rah-rah from him, too much yelling and stuff like that. But when you do hear it, though, you know, you pay attention. And he's a very detailed guy. He's going to make sure you know everything about, you know, whatever your role in this play is, you're going to know the in and outs about it. And, you know, that's very helpful for guys, especially young guys who's not sure, you know, what they really got, you know. So him and EB does a really good job of explaining, you know, details on plays and stuff.
Before you get it, man, obviously you're here to be able to get a 12 running back. What's it like being able to, you know, get with him, coordinator? So just, I mean, you get a chance to talk to him about his time in the NFL and learning from him.
I haven't really talked to EB about, you know, his experience in the league. You know, I don't even be thinking about it, honestly. I just be focused on, you know, what my job is tomorrow, what plays we got coming in. You know, I'm just trying to get a jump on that, and, you know, so I can come out to practice and play fast. But now that you mention it, I'm going to go talk to him about it.
All right, that's it.
Right, there it is, Carlos Hyde, a guy that you fantasy nerds already had on your radar screen. Certainly want to handcuff him with Damian Williams, but he might end up actually being the lead guy. Listen, Damian Williams never had more than 50 carries. If you go Damian Williams early in your draft, you damn well better get Carlos Hyde as well. And maybe even think about Darwin Thompson. I don't think Thompson will factor in early, but last five games of the year, he could be a guy there, but we'll see. Carlos Hyde, Anthony Hitchens before him, and Andy Reid before him up at Chiefs training camp. We're going to take a break here. You're listening to coverage of the 2019 Chiefs training camp here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Our coverage is brought to you by the Missouri Lottery, Mosaic Life Care, and our Kansas City GMC dealers. Our interviews, our press conferences are also brought to you by our friends at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. They make junk disappear, and by Worth Harley-Davidson and Outlaw Harley-Davidson, I-29, and Tiffany Springs. For my guys at Worth Harley-Davidson, the biggest and best bike night, the biggest and best selection of Harley-Davidson motorcycles in the Midwest, are at Worth Harley-Davidson North and Outlaw Harley in Blue Springs.